Turn with me, please, to the book of Luke, Luke the fifth chapter. Luke the fifth chapter and the first verse, Luke 5 and 1. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought the ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. There are some key things in here that I'm going to point out in this message this morning. Some very vital and pivotal points that I believe for somebody's life here today, as it happened to Simon in his beginning of his walk with Jesus Christ. I'd like to minister this morning upon this thought of needed, just one empty vessel. I don't need a lot. All he needs is just one empty vessel. He don't need it full. He don't need it half full. He's looking for one empty vessel. Somebody, someone who says, I'm just sick of being sick, tired of being tired. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're full of the world and full of pleasure and full of your own self-will, God will move over and find a vessel that's moored, anchored, through traveling, at the end of the journey, tried it all, nothing else left to do, and empty. That's the vessel he's going to find. Whew. My God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here. Praise God. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Don't have this attitude and say, well, this isn't my message. I just kind of drifted in here, and I'll drift out. And this isn't my message. This is the one over from me. This is from a wife. This is from a husband. Or this is for another saint. This is somebody five rows up. This is for you. This is for me. This is for everybody. Praise God. All God needs is one empty vessel. He don't need your money. He don't need your charisma. He don't need your intelligence. He just needs a heart that's ready to be filled. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Kraft, will you come and pray?
Let's all pray together, church. Praise God. Let's really pray. My God, in the name of Jesus, there are needs here this morning that must be met, oh God. They cannot wait until tonight. They cannot wait until Thursday night. But God, they must be met here in this service this morning. Lord, eternal destinies lay in the balance of this service right now, God. Let us focus our mind. Let us focus our thoughts upon you and worship you and be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah. And everybody said, praise the Lord.
Come on, church. Let's give the Lord a great hand praise together. Come on, let's really clap our hands to the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. There was a crisis developing in Luke, the 5th chapter. May seem minor, but nevertheless, there was a crisis. Hundreds and maybe thousands of people gathered there on the shore of Lake Gennesaret. And the thing was that the one that they wanted was down in among that crowd. And the crowd had heard and were pressing in, but could not see, nor could they hear the word of the Lord. And what preceded this was great miracles that had happened in Luke, the 4th chapter, until the Bible said that when they came unto the Lord, that they were healed of all manner of diseases. The blind eyes were opened, the lame were made to walk. There was nothing that came nigh unto the Lord that did not receive something that they had faith to receive it. And so great miracles had happened. And now they heard about the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so they pursued him. Him going on his way and journey, they found him beside the lake. And I could see the serene setting. As the Lord, because of the press of the people, the Bible said, I can see him now being pushed hard against the lake. His sandaled feet standing, maybe there ankle deep as the waters lapped in upon the sands of the shore. And birds gently in flight over his head, and the sun beaming down upon the massive crowd that day. Everybody on their tiptoes trying to see him. But only those that were right up front could even hear what he was saying. He realized that if anything good was going to come out of all that had happened, that he was going to have an elevated place. A place where the crowd could see and hear him. I'm going to tell you something. It all goes to no avail unless people can see and hear the words of the kingdom of God. Do you hear me? We can have church. We can play church. We can do whatever we want to do and whatever churches want to do. But until the Lord can find an elevated place, a place above the crowd and a place above the normal existence of life, then the Lord's power and word of his kingdom will never go forth and have its effect. Do you understand where I'm going? Listen to me now, church. Hallelujah. God must find a place somewhere in somebody's life that he can be elevated, that people might know that he is the Christ and hear the power of the word of the Lord. And everybody say, hallelujah. And so it was. I can see the Lord turn and realize the circumstance. Now before him lay destiny. Now there were two boats, the Bible said, that were moored sitting there by the shore. He already knew which belonged to who before he ever touched the one boat and decided that was the boat that he wanted. But I can see the Lord turn and look upon those two boats as they're gently bobbing upon the waves as they rolled in. He picks out the one. He knew what he was doing. It wasn't by chance. This was destiny in this. He knew that this boat belonged to a sinner by the name of Simon Peter. Now let me express this to you. I don't know everything about God. I've never figured it out. It's going to take all eternity. But there's something about divine destiny and the mind and the will of God that is so awesome.
Why seemingly would he pick out one and leave another? The Bible said he knows what is in the heart of mankind. Now people can say whatever they want to say about God, but God knows what's in the heart of mankind. And the Bible said at one point he would not commit himself to them because he knew what was in their hearts. God doesn't pick out men and women by random or by chance. There's got to be a drawing, a magnetism, if you please. It doesn't matter if he's an alcoholic or if she's a streetwalker or if they're on drugs. That doesn't matter to God. All there's got to be is a drawing that is there, saying there's got to be something better than what I'm doing and what I've been doing. And if I can but find it, and if it can but find me, and we can get together, hallelujah. It's not the poor man becoming a millionaire. It's not the illiterate becoming a professor at college. But it's a sinner finding the power of God Almighty. Amen. That is divine destiny. Praise God. And so the Lord turns and he looks at these two boats and he picks out one. And the Bible said that when he struck up the conversation, the fisherman was on down the beach washing his nets because he had been out there all night long and had found no fish. He was bloodshot eyes, staring up on this net, pulling out the shellfish, grumbling and complaining, maybe cussing. And then he began to see down the shoreline. The people began to come until there was a massive crowd. He inquires and he is inquisitive. Mind, he says, who is that one? That is Jesus. I've heard about him. And he goes back to his nets again. But now the attention of the Lord is drawn toward this boat. And he's calling out, whose boat is this? No doubt he already knew. And so Simon Peter looks up and says, looks like I'm about to be bothered. I just want to finish cleaning my net. I want to go home and get some sleep. I'm tired and I'm weary. But the Lord is calling to you, Simon Peter. He's a looking at your boat. Well, there ain't nothing in there that he'd find interesting because it's empty. But he's a looking at your boat. And he's an inquiring about your boat. Oh, my God. Don't give up. Don't quit on life. Hallelujah. There's something exciting and exuberant when you're really living for God. Praise God. I'm going to tell you something. I stepped on some of your toes here in the beginning. And I'm surprised you hung around. Maybe some of you, if you wouldn't have been too embarrassed, you would have already left. But you see, God wouldn't let you go. And so you stayed for different reasons. But maybe you're a little tired and weary. And so you're going to see this thing through thinking, I'll just get out of here when I can. Because the preacher's already offended me. I'm empty, I'm dry, and I'm miserable. Just leave me alone. But I feel the Holy Ghost today calling your name. I'm miserable. I've been hung up on life and nothing good ain't come out of life. So just let me alone. But the Lord is calling your name. But I ain't got nothing to give him. The boat is empty. My life is just about shipwrecked. Yeah, but he's calling your name. And he's looking at your life. Praise God. Whew. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so Simon Peter gets up. He said, boys, he's got his eye on my boat. So let's go see what he's got in mind. I got to go find out because he ain't quitting. And he walks up there to that boat and the Lord's standing there and he says, I'd like to strike up a deal with you. I need your boat for a while. He said, I want to teach the kingdom of the word of the kingdom of God. He says, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you like you can't even begin to believe. But he didn't tell him what all was coming. He just said, listen, there's something I need this boat for. Let's strike up this deal. And so Simon Peter said, all right, get on board. He says, now pull up anchor and you row me out there. There's something you got to do in the kingdom of God. Now get me out there in the middle of the lake. And so they began to back away. And they began to pull away from the press of the crowd. I'm going to tell you something. For the will of God to be done in your life, there's just some things you got to cut loose of. I feel some peer pressure in here. And there's some people that are pushing against you. But if you and God and that empty life of yours can just back away a little bit and get it in perspective and hear the power of the Word of God, it won't matter what mama or daddy or friends or boss or anybody says. Come on. To get the will of God done in your life, you're going to have to break away from pressures. I'm going to tell you something. There's some people in here, God's been dealing with you and God's been talking to you. But you've got some pressures. And if you make your move, you know you're going to stand alone. And you ain't got guts enough to stand alone. You may say you're a man, but I say you're a wimp. You know what? Yesterday I was praying and that came to me. When I said that word, I could feel some hackles rise up. And I said, God, I ain't going to say that word. I told God yesterday in prayer, I said, I ain't going to say wimp because I'll make a man mad at me. And I already know who you are. You don't want to be called a wimp. If I walked up to you and called you a wimp today, you'd just about knock my head off. I told the Lord that. I didn't know you was going to be here today. Hallelujah. I said, I ain't going to say that word. God, it'll make him mad. Amen. It come out of my mouth before I even thought about it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's a real man to stand up and face the world and to say, I don't care what you say or anybody else says. I want thus saith the Lord. I want the word of the living God. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody can fight. Anybody can cuss. Anybody can drink. Anybody can drug it up. Anybody can have pleasures of the world. It takes a real man to walk away and say, you know what? I'm going to take a different road. I ain't going to walk the same road. You may be seated. Brother Wayne McLean in Pasadena, Texas, prophesied over my life. He said, because of the call of God on your life and because of what God has called you to live and do, he said, you're going to walk a very lonely road. He said, you're going to be misunderstood and very few are even going to be your friends. He said, because they don't want the things of God. And he said, you might as well get ready, thus saith the Lord. And he began to prophesy things that were going to come. But I'm going to tell you what, people who walk with me in God are people who really want everything God's got for them. You take the easy road and I'm telling you, you'll never know the power and the mercy of Jesus Christ. You'll play on the outer fringes all your life and you'll be on the outer periphery. Amen. Brother Clark, I can't take that. That makes me uptight. God, if God's with you, it doesn't really matter anymore. Can you imagine how Simon Peter must have started feeling? Him and Jesus in the middle of that empty boat. I don't know, maybe it's like some women. Somebody walks over to their house and they weren't prepared for it. They just want to go cleaning up everything. I can walk into a lady's house that wasn't expecting me and she's looking at every corner. She ain't been looking up in that corner for a month. But she's looking up and thinking, oh my God, there's that spider's nest up there. I wish I'd have took that down. I can almost see Simon Peter now as he begins to look around that empty, filthy, dirty, smelly boat. But oh, the Lord wasn't even thinking about it. He was expounding on the word of the living God. And the Bible said they all heard the word of God. You know, all God wanted, he didn't care how messed up it was, how smelly it was. He just wanted an empty vessel that he could get up and sit on the bow of that boat and begin to expound on the things of the kingdom of God. God doesn't care about how messed up we are, how bad it looks. He just wants an empty vessel. Send here, Lord, take me. Use me. I'll do it. Here I am. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I'm telling you, I'm fixing to hit somebody square between the eyes. But I'm going to do it in the love of God and the Holy Ghost. This baloney is sitting down watching the Dallas Cowboys win the Super Bowl and beat the Buffalo Bills so you can win a sinner to God. That's the biggest laugh I ever heard of in all my life. That's the biggest joke I've ever heard. It's So what if Troy Aikman could throw a touchdown pass? That'd do one thing for the kingdom of God. But you let one man or one woman get full of the power of the Holy Ghost and get in a place with God, and men are going to look and say, Jesus is alive. They don't need somebody living like them. They don't need somebody dressing like them. They don't need anybody looking like them. They need somebody who's different. You may be seated. Some of you better listen to me. You ain't opened your mouth yet and said amen. I've had the flu all night long, and if I can get up here and preach like this, you can open your mouth and back me up. Praise God. Hallelujah. Please say amen to this. The world is never one to God and never hears the power of the Word of God as long as you're mixing and mingling with Him. You let an alcoholic get delivered. And you let Christ get elevated in his life. You know what every alcoholic comes around saying? What did you get? What did you get? Say, Brother Clark, I'll tell you what. Let me tell you what your attitude is when you mix and mingle with the world because you don't want to look different and have them offended and have them be offended. You know what that's like? That's like going out to the alcoholic there on Skid Row and drinking wine with him. Well, Brother Clark, you just got to be all things to all men to win some to Christ. That's perversion of the Scripture. Praise God. Hallelujah. When you give God your life, you give Him your life. All of it. Your mind, your soul, your body. You don't keep half of it. It's got to be emptied out unto God. And when the Lord steps into that life, He gets an elevated place that all men might know, that all men might know, that all men might know that Christ is alive. There are two young men. One of them is still in this church. The other one is not. And I do not want the mother to be offended, but she knows it's the truth. One of them that is in this church is bold for Jesus Christ. His dad is not saved yet. I use the word yet. Hallelujah. But this young man has taken his stand for God. God filled the other young man with the Holy Ghost. I asked him a little while later, have you told your dad yet? No, sir. Have you told? No, sir. And he never did because he was ashamed of this gospel. He never spoke it to his dad. He didn't tell his friends. And he's not living for God today because he was ashamed of what God did for him. Because he still loved the world and he still loves it today. But his brother's still living for God. Two boats in the water. God picked out one. I'm telling you, folks, God knows who means business. And I don't know how you feel today, but I mean business with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said I mean business. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. And so from an elevated place, from an empty vessel, God could speak to a lost and a dying world. Let me tell you something. It's not all just this, but there's something that goes with this. The Lord said, all right, I've done what I wanted to do. Now, take me to shore. He said, now I want you to go right back out there where we just came from. And I want you to let down your nets. Everybody say nets. Everybody say nets. The word of the Lord said, take that boat back out where we just came from. Where the word was just expounded. He said, this is part of the deal. You give me your empty vessel, it's going to be filled. Oh, hallelujah. Give me what you have and I'll give you what I can. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now take that boat right back out there. Simon Peter was still in a bind. He was still not seeing the kingdom of God yet. He said, Lord, I've been out there all night long, and I'm tired and I'm weary. Nevertheless, at thy word, at the command of your word, I'm going back out to where I came from, and we're going to see what's happening. But folks, listen, I'm going to preach on this one day, so I'm just going to touch it lightly. He made a mistake in that he said, I'm doing what the word of God says, but he left it out. He only took one net. The Lord said, take many nets, plural, not just one. For the Bible said he let down one net, not nets, because the Lord knew what was coming. Friend of mine, when God speaks, you do it all the way, not halfway. Come on, not a little bit. You don't repent a little bit, you repent all the way. You don't get baptized a little bit, you go underwater in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't get blessed a little bit, you get the Holy Ghost. You talk in tongues. You get full of the Spirit of God. Praise God. He said, Simon Peter, go back out where you came from. Praise God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. I've had people tell me, if I don't quit this job, right after they get the Holy Ghost, said, I can't live for God. No, the trouble is they don't understand yet the power of God. It may come a day when God has you to leave that job or leave that school. But you never quit a job and you never quit your school and you never quit what you're doing, running. You first make your stand. You make your mark, and you never let the devil ever make you run. Because once you start running, you'll always run. You'll always run. You'll always run. God's got to have somebody who can make their stand and say, God said it, and I'm going to do it. Praise God. Praise God. And so he took the net, and he went right back out where he had come from. But see, there was a difference now from him toiling all night. He toiled all night in the flesh. But now the Word of God had filled that fishing hole. Jesus taught it. Now he spoke it. And now there was going to come a change. When you mix the Word of God with your life, you'll never be the same again. I've had people tell me, if I get the Holy Ghost, is it going to be the same old drag? The same old pain? The same old misery? I said, well, I'll tell you this. Life per se doesn't change, but you change. You change. Circumstances don't always change, but you change. And Simon Peter was quickly being changed when he let that net down. Folks, he underestimated what was coming his way. God said, it's going to be more. You better get nets. And so the Bible said he let down his net and it began to break until he had to call for others to come. When God really gets a hold of your life, it is not going to only affect you. It's going to affect your home. It's going to affect your life. It's going to affect your friends. People who never call to their friends, I doubt their salvation. People who never call to their acquaintances, I doubt they've ever got anything from God. Because if you ever get anything from God, it is so overwhelming and so powerful that you got to share it with somebody else. Hallelujah. And so they began to call. Folks, I'm telling you, when God has given an elevated place, that was empty becomes full. Until now, the Bible said, it looked like the boats were about to sink. And you know what happened at the conclusion of this? Simon Peter fell on his knees and began to worship the Lord and said to the Lord, depart from me. Leave me alone. For I am a sinful man. Don't
bother me. But the Lord said the deal is just getting started. Whew. What I've done for you in the physical, I'm going to do for you in the spiritual. He said, from this day on, you're going to be fishermen of men. And friend, when that spirit realm got a hold of Simon Peter, you may never have saw it before, but he never even stopped to enjoy what he got in the physical. Because the Bible said when the boats hit the shore, read it again, when the boats landed, they forsook everything. Peter, James, and John walked away. Do you hear me? They left the fish in the boat. They left the boats in the water. My God, they took off a walking and said, oh, something better than meat or drink. Something better than lands or houses. Whoa. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, they left everything that moment. Jesus, have mercy. Oh, have mercy. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Oh, my God. You see, why people never get God is they say, I'd go to the altar today, but I got some things that I just can't let go of right now. The Bible said that Elijah come walking by. Elijah come walking by. He looked out in the field and he saw Elijah. And the Lord had his hand upon that young man. And so the Bible said he took his mantle and he cast it upon that boy. And the Lord called that young prophet that day. And he said, let me go home and tell my mom and my daddy goodbye. And that prophet took off a walking and was telling him, what do I have to do with you? If you ain't got a heart to follow me and you're worried about mom and daddy, then what do I have to do with you? It so shook that young prophet that he cut up his bullets and he burned them and sacrificed them. He cut loose of everything that had ever been anything in his life. He had been a farmer up to then, but now he was starting on a new road. He come back over that fence and said, I cut loose. Everything's out of the way. I'm ready. I'm going. I'm going to live for God. Some of you are not ready. If the trumpet were to sound right now, you're not ready. You're not ready. You may be seated. Reach over and lay your hand on your neighbor's shoulder right now. The Holy Ghost is in this place and it's moving mightily through this tabernacle. Let's pray. By God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Come on, let's pray for one another. Don't let the devil defeat you this morning. Don't you let the devil defeat you this morning. Come on, break out of that cloud. Break out from under that spirit. Get loose of that thing. Come on, shake that cat off. Get it off of you. That spirit's trying to disembowel you right now. It's trying to take your guts out of you. You better pray and you better call on the name of the Lord. Come on, pray. Reach over and pray for one another. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh Jesus. Hallelujah. You better put up a fight right now. You better call on the name of Jesus right now. You better come on, call on God. My God. Brother Clark, it's a stinking rotten mess. God don't care. Brother Clark, it's not very pretty right now. Things aren't going well in my life. God doesn't care. He just wants you to get up out of that pew and come down here and pray. I'm opening this altar right now.